There are three brief readings from the book of Psalms we may take just before we separate. It's a privilege to be here again. And first of all, Psalm number 68. Psalm 68. And verse 9 will be the only verse we'll take from this psalm. Psalm 68, verse 9. Thou, O God, didst send a plentiful rain, whereby thou didst confirm thine inheritance when it was weary. And a verse from Psalm 86, I think it is. Psalm 86. We'll read a little more here. Verse 1, bow down thine ear, O Lord, hear me, for I am poor and needy. Preserve my soul, for I am holy. Verse 3, be merciful unto me, O Lord, for I cry unto thee daily. Verse 4, rejoice the soul of thy servant, for unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul, for thou, Lord, art good, and ready to forgive, and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. Verse 11, teach me thy way, O Lord. I will walk in thy truth. Unite my heart to fear thy name. Verse 15, but thou, O Lord, art a God full of compassion and gracious, long-suffering, and plenteous in mercy and truth. Verse 17, show me a token for good, that they which hate me may see it and be ashamed, because thou, Lord, hast holpen me and comforted me. And a final text from Psalm 130. Psalm 130. And just the end of the psalm, verse 7. Let Israel hope in the Lord, for with the Lord there is mercy, and with him is plenteous redemption, and he shall redeem Israel from all his iniquities. Now that's all we read, just for a very simple, brief meditation at the close of the prayer meeting. I suppose one of the things that would be in the mind of most is a little trepidation as we embark upon a conference weekend. One of the feelings that will be common in the hearts of the Lord's people is a sense of inadequacy. The demands, the spiritual demands of this weekend of various ministry is far beyond the capacity of any of us, or far beyond the capacity of all of us put together. And we could be overwhelmed with need. And I just want to take a look at the superabundance of the God to whom we have just made these petitions. I want to think about a plentiful rain. That's the word plenteous or plentiful. A plentiful rain. Thou, O Lord, didst send a plentiful rain, whereby thou didst confirm thine inheritance when it was weary. Then I want to think about a plentiful reply, because in Psalm 86 we have quite a number of requests. And as the psalmist lodges his requests and he waits an answer, he encourages his heart twice over by reminding himself that the Lord to whom he has been praying, he is plenteous in mercy. We'll look at some of those requests just in a second. And then thirdly, I say a little word upon a plenteous redemption. With the Lord there is a plenteous redemption. The amplitude of divine abundance is something that encourages us on an occasion like this. The Lord sending a plentiful rain. We have been noticing and had heard before we came, and I've seen it now firsthand, the dearth and the drought in the fields, and the withered corn, and so on, teaching us again how much agriculturally, even despite sophisticated machinery, men are still dependent on the opening of the hand of God in giving blessing spiritually. We need the irrigation of heaven. We need what Ezekiel 34 says, there shall be showers of blessing. I know the farmers around here would greatly rejoice if there were physical showers of material rain. But dear believers, we would superabundantly rejoice if even over the weekend there was a shower of spiritual blessing. There could be. Thou didst give a plentiful rain, whereby thou didst confirm thine inheritance when it was weary. It's an allusion, I take it, to the fact that the land of Canaan was dependent upon those supplies coming from heaven. And there were times when the land could be weary. A thirsty land, dehydrated and desiccated, was looked upon as a land that had reached a point of exhaustion. It was weary. I will be surprised if there aren't weary hearts who will come to the conference this weekend. Christians that feel themselves to be dried. Maybe all of us are suffering from some degree of spiritual dehydration. Would it be great if a thirsty land that is weary, we sing at times in one of our hymns, may thy spirit by thy word refresh each wearied saint, dear Lord, wearied of earth's vain strife and woe, and longing more thyself to know. And a plentiful rain. Not just the sprinkling, but an overflowing abundance. And the inheritance of the Lord confirmed. Mr. Darby would say, the inheritance of the Lord would be strengthened. I know the dear believers here would be greatly encouraged if there was such a saturation of divine blessing in the meetings that when the whole thing is over, assembly testimony in Iowa was greatly strengthened. Confirmed. Things that exist. Re-established. May God send us a plentiful rain so that the weary, thirsty, waiting, yearning, longing inheritance might be refreshed. Actually, the whole study of precipitation is quite an amazing one. I'm not skilled in that field at all. But I do know this. If you take a square mile of farmland and take 1 inch of rain. 1 inch of rain on a square mile of farm is 26 million cubic feet of water. Just a square mile and 1 inch. That is 206 million gallons of water. Just 1 inch. On a square mile, it's 1.265 billion pounds of water. That's how much it takes to come down from heaven for a square mile with 1 inch. If it all came down at once, the whole thing would be flattened. But the Lord lets it down gently, in drops, so that the waiting ground can just absorb it to its full advantage. May He grant that as our brethren minister, session by session, that we will be conscious of the opening of clouds of blessing, and that there might be a confirmation of the Lord's weary inheritance. The whole cycle, the evaporation, going up into the sky, the transportation and the grading of the winds, the condensation and the precipitation. The cycle of it all is quite amazing. I think the Bible teaches us a lot of lessons about rain. And they all have their spiritual counterpart. May God grant that the springs of heaven, the water bottles of heaven, might be opened. And the God whose reservoirs are inexhaustible, and the God whose river, according to Psalm 65, is full of water, may He grant that some of the flood of that mighty stream might arrive in Heightsville this weekend. A plentiful rain. What about a plentiful reply? Because I'm not going to go on here at all. A plentiful reply. Well, the psalmist makes quite a number of interesting requests. Actually, there are 14 requests in the psalm directed to heaven. I'm not going to mention anything like the 14 of them, but I nearly think, in fact, I detected as our brethren prayed, I detected some of these requests. They resonated with the prayers of our brethren. Rejoice the soul of thy servant. I think our brother here was asking that the Lord might restore afresh the joy of salvation. Rejoice the soul. Teach me thy way. I will walk in thy truth. Would that be a request we could make for Heightsville Conference? That we may become pupils, sitting at the Lord's feet, receiving instructions directly from his lips, that he might again inscribe upon the tablet of our hearts the very oracle of heaven. Teach me thy way, and I will walk. Unite my heart. What about fragmented affections? What about chambers in our hearts that have been diverted to lesser things? It would be great if our hearts could again all be reunited with a single focus. I think some of our brethren prayed something like that. Rejoice the soul of thy servant. Teach me thy way. Unite my heart to fear thy name. And that last request that he makes as the psalm closes, he says, show me a token for good. He said, I would just love a palpable proof of the Lord's favor in this whole enterprise that I'm involved in. Just if the Lord would just show us a token for good. And I think I again have detected a similar request in the prayers of our brethren. What would be a token for good? What would really send us away from this place with double thanksgivings on Lord's Day evening? Well, I think that you'll agree with me, if there were a soul or two saved tomorrow evening, and a soul or two saved on Lord's Day evening, and the hand of the Lord confirming the whole business with blessing in salvation, oh, may God rejoice our souls. May he teach our hearts. May he unite our very spirits. May he show us a token for... But you say, those are big requests. You say, it's too much to ask. Well, it would be. If you were coming with requests like that to some earthly source of power, it would almost be impudent to ask so much in the one prayer. But he says, no, Lord. He said, I'm confident in making these requests because, he said, I know that you're a God plenteous in mercy. He says, there is nothing stinted in the supply. And he said, you will give the request not because I deserve it, not because I'm worthy of it, just because of sheer mercy, undeserved mercy. And the replies that I will get will just be granted according. You go through the Bible. I'll not do it now. You take the adjectives of God's mercy. Abundant, great, plenteous, everlasting. Language is almost exhausted. Vocabulary is pulled in from every corner just to magnify within our souls the wonder of God's measureless mercy. Dear Christians, there is one thing very clear. We don't deserve God's blessing. We certainly cannot merit it. May God grant humbly. We'll just cast ourselves upon his sovereign mercy. This is the only psalm that uses the word Lord, that not Jehovah. Jehovah's four times. Seven times in Psalm 86, the great title Adonai, the sovereign Lord. And twice he speaks about himself as thy servant. He said, Lord, I'm poor and needy. I'm thy servant. He said, I cannot command blessing. And he said, you're not obligated to give blessing. But he says, I need it. And he says, you're the sovereign Lord. And he says, if you bless me, it will just be according to your mercy. We can never put God in a corner. God is always free in the distribution of his bounty. But may he grant that as a result of these feeble, yet earnest, heartfelt petitions this evening, that there will not only be a plentiful rain tomorrow and the other day, but there'll be a plenteous reply to these requests that he has heard. And just a word on a plenteous redemption. With the Lord, there is a plenteous redemption. He will redeem Israel from all her iniquities. Well, there is a plenteous redemption with the Lord. Israel has had a historical redemption. It was quite an event. The history of the world has never been the same since. Despite the hostility of the mightiest monarch on the surface of the earth at that time, God brought them out with a mighty arm, and he established a new nation at the foot of Mount Sinai, under the very nose of Pharaoh. And even though he hated it, God said they're here, and they've been trying. The nations of the world, the counterparts of Pharaoh and the descendants of Pharaoh, have been trying ever since to eliminate the nation that God created, but they will never succeed. There's a historical redemption. In the future, Israel will get a political redemption. When the nations of the Gentile world converge, and it seems as if that feeble little remnant is just on the brink of extermination, they will achieve, they will be given a great political. We have already experienced a spiritual redemption. We have known redemption, Lord, from bondage worse than theirs by far. In him we have redemption through it. We will know a physical redemption. The names that have been mentioned are unknown to me. But the Lord knows the needs of all his people. I'm sure around Iowa tonight, there are many of the Lord's dear people, and they're just waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of the body. It'll be a great freedom to arrive in a land untrammeled and unfettered by the effects of the fall. We speak of its freedom from sin, from sorrow, temptation, and care, from trials without and within. But what must it be to be there? A historical redemption. A political redemption. A spiritual redemption. A physical redemption. You know, the Bible tells us that there will be a material redemption. And the Scriptures also tell us that there will be a universal redemption. If I can't quote the Bible, I'll quote you good old Edward Denny's hymn. Thy sympathies and hopes are ours. We long, O Lord, to see creation all, below, above, redeemed and blessed by thee. The days are coming, dear Christians, when there'll be no fields like the ones we have seen. There'll be a handful of corn reaped on the top of the mountain. The full potential of the soil will be realized when this planet is bathed in the beneficent, benevolent, millennial, messianic kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And there will not only be a material redemption, there will be an eternal redemption that has already been purchased at the cross. You say, why did you go over those seven redemptions? Just because the Bible tells us, with the Lord, there is plenteous redemption. Dear Christians, the one thing that we feel just now, I dare say, the reason there is a prayer meeting, I suspect, and behind the prayer meeting tonight, there has been much private exercise on the part of the dear believers here. The reason, what we feel just now, at 8:30 or a little more, we feel human poverty. You say, give it up. He can come back tomorrow. Human poverty with every one of us. But I want to speak a little word on divine plenty. And let me say, divine plenty more than meets the deficiencies of human poverty. We proceed, not confident in ourselves. We proceed glancing heavenward and thanking God that with him there is plenteous rain. I hope he lets it fall. With him there is plenteous redemption, all purchased at Calvary. And with him May he grant there will be a plentiful reply to these requests that we have made tonight. May the Lord bless this simple word and encourage our hearts.